Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 756, The State of Wars, recorded live on October 22nd, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are DJ-less tonight, but we do have a special guest on with us. Joining us back again on the podcast, we have Andrew from Team Respawn. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Good to have you here. It's been a while since we've really dug into anything Halo Wars related, and you're pretty much one of the, probably one of the bigger, if not the more well-known Halo Wars communities within the greater Halo community. So it'd be interesting to kind of catch up with you and see how things are going over there.
Yeah, yeah. Halo Wars is still hanging on.
Yeah, and as we saw in the, or as we'll get to in the community update, there's actually an update coming to Halo Wars 2 to prep for compatibility with Xbox Series X. That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a little bit. Just as a quick refresher, since we've had you on the show before, who are you and what do you do within the Halo community?
Sure. So I'm Andrew. I run and manage the Team Respawn YouTube channel. It's a channel that is dedicated to pretty much exclusively Halo Wars content. So a lot of Halo Wars 2 matchmaking videos. We try a Super Turtle series where we try to have games last as long as possible, sometimes up to 4.5 hours.
Oh, jeez.
On rare occasion. And the point of Team Respawn is to be a positive, really welcoming spotlight in the Halo Wars community, to be as welcoming as we can to people who are new to the game, and just try and create a friendly environment.
Very good. Well, we're excited to have you here. Excited to catch up with you, see how you've been. And we're going to go ahead and jump into what we got going on. Then we'll talk to you after we get through some of the community news.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Of course, you'll be here and you can chime in on any of the stuff that you want to. So feel free to put your two cents in. But first, we've got a quick Podtacular community update, starting with our Fragment Friday recap with GT. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it. I was on a call with another Halo community, which lasted a whole lot longer than I thought it would. But how'd things go?
Things went actually really well. We had a lot of fun. Played Super Fiesta. We actually did get a few Warzone games in Friday night. And we didn't get totally stomped. Played some Warzone Firefight. And we wound up the night with just a little bit of customs. We played some Super Fiesta. But all in all, it was a really good night.
Good. So, some Halo 5, some Warzone, some customs. Very exciting. For the Achieving Halo stream that we did on Sunday, we didn't actually do achievements, but we worked on the Halloween special challenges that are in MCC right now for the two nameplates. So, one of the challenges was get 50 kills with a shotgun. And then another one was play 10 games of Infection. So it was me, Frizzle, Prestige, and Alice's Pieces actually joined us on Sunday as well. So we managed to churn out all of those challenges for that night. And no achievements, but we still got something achieved as far as challenges done. This coming weekend, not sure if I'm going to have the achievement stream, because I will be camping. We'll see how up I'm feeling to it on Sunday night. But if I am doing the Achieving Halo, we will probably try to do an Endure run for those who are interested in wanting to get that challenge under their belt before that challenge leaves, before Halo 4 comes around. I know GT is totally not up for that, so
Done it once. That's all I ever need to do it.
Andrew, do you touch any of the first-person shooter Halo games, or are you pretty much exclusively the RTS side of things?
I really enjoy the campaigns in MCC, but my multiplayer skills have diminished so badly in the FPS. I play it seldomly online. But some of the achievements in MCC are really difficult to get.
They are. Yeah. Some of them are grinding, especially the Lazo ones.
Yeah, Halo 2 has a lot of tough ones.
Yep. That's kind of one of the big things that I've been working on my Sunday night streams, and I'm down to, I believe, 13 achievements left that I need, and half of them are Lazo related, which really sucks.
There's a guy in my Discord server. He's trying to do 100% in MCC, and it's been like a 3-year journey.
Yeah. For a new person coming into MCC, I bet it would take quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back.
At least MCC is working.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when people actually 100%ed MCC earlier, shortly after launch. And then about the time they 100%ed it, then they released like ODST and there was another 100 achievements.
Yep. And then there was Reach. When Reach came out, there was another 7 mm-hmm. achievements. Yeah, it's all good, though.
At least there was a little bit more time between the ODST and the Reach.
Yeah, because ODST was like crap, we had a horrible launch. Here's some extra content to placate all the angry fans. But, yeah, at least the ODST achievements weren't too hard, and the Reach ones overall weren't that bad. Of course, you had Lazo for both titles, and mm-hmm. then you have the Lone Wolf stuff, getting the 150,000 score on Lone Wolf, which is still just kind of crazy, but there's not at least too many of the hard ones. And there are definitely some grindy ones, but for the most part, it's pretty manageable.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
If you want 100% it, though, those Lazo ones are definitely the pain in the butt.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know. I still have to think about that.
Frizzle said it took him 7 hours to do a single Halo CE mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could imagine that. Especially some of the longer ones like Assault in the Control Room and Two Betrayals. Definitely will take a while.
Yeah, that one, you really need to know the glitches.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of things I will be trying to practice for doing
well, a lot of the speed running tactics work on Lazo.
Yes.
Just so you don't have to fight as many enemies.
Mm-hmm. It might be one of those things where it's like, okay, one day will be one mission. And probably co-oping them where they make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Going on to our website post, we have another Machinima Monday. Thanks to Writing Spartan for posting that. This one is titled Lemme Smash. It is the meme that you're thinking of. This was put out by Thel Vedum on YouTube. Or The Vengeful Vedum, sorry. And this is a little bit of an older Machinima, but there's kind of like a series of videos that go along with it. So if you're into that meme, the Lemme Smash meme, and having the Microsoft voice elites in Halo, then it's right up your alley. It's a pretty funny little set of videos. And it's multi-generational, too. I think it goes through some other titles, I think. For company commendations, we are still chewing away ever so slowly. I think from our last update, we maybe had less than 10 on Lawnmower, which is getting splatters. We're at 4,772 out of 4,900. And then the headshot kills, we are still just under about 25, or just over 25,000 on that one. And then standard weapon kills is the third closest one. And we are within 23,000 of that one. All right, Frizzled, have fun at the watching the debate. I will not be melting my brain, and I will just catch the highlights later.
The low lights, you mean?
Low lights, highlights, whatever lights that comes out of that.
Yeah, they don't show
craziness.
They showed the low lights. It's a debate.
Guess it depends on your point of view. So those are what we have for company commendations. As far as Tales from the Foxhole or our little community updates, we've got actually MH Cosplays is here in the chat with us. Well, okay, Frizzled. If you're inebriated enough where you can handle it without yelling at your screen and throwing things at your screen, then more power to you.
If I'm that drunk, yeah. I'm not conscious. Oh.
Yeah. Yep. So we've got MH Cosplay doing a couple of things over, or sharing a couple of things over in our Discord. He's been working on some weapons recently. First one is a Reach Magnum. I don't think he specified what kind of Magnum it is, but he's worked on the pistol. And then he has a M90 shotgun that he just posted today over on our chat a little before the podcast started.
Mm-hmm.
At least pieces of one that he's starting to assemble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to figure out how I can take my Remington and make it look like an M90. But I haven't figured out how to make the breech go on top.
Interesting.
In other words, make a real M90.
So still functional, but it looks like the M90. Okay. All right. I got you.
I mean, I know some gunsmiths that could really make it happen, but my pockets aren't that deep.
Ah, gotcha. We also have a helmet piece that he's been working on, and there's a little clip from this past Achieving Halo where I think it was Prestige has like a voice modulator on his microphone and just started doing some like... We were talking about The Nightmare Before Christmas somehow, and he started singing This Is Halloween, but with a voice changer that made his voice really low, so he clipped that and then he threw it in our community chat. So if you want to go check out that craziness, feel free to check it out. And that's what we got for the community update this week. The M6G, it actually pumps. I may have misread that. Body to the M90 shock. So you're working on... Oh, the pistol is the M6G. Got it. Okay, cool. Oh, and it actually pumps. Very nice. Is it based off of an airsoft gun, or are you just... Did you make your own pump mechanism to kind of make the slide work? I know there's a delay, so we'll get back to that in a second. GT, what we got coming in for matchmaking updates?
We actually have some updates.
Yes.
Well...
We've got some new entries.
Yes, we do. For this weekend, we've got Action Sack rotating in for Rock and Rail and Halo 5. Next weekend will be Roaming King coming in for Action Sack. And also Warzone Turbo goes live.
Turbo! I feel like I'm obligated to do that every time.
It's Turbo time!
And that'll be Halloween weekend.
Yes, that will be Halloween weekend. Of which... I will give you a heads up right now to tune your ears. There has been a request made in our Discord about game night for Halloween weekend. I am not ignoring you. I am quietly preparing.
Prestige.
Wink, wink. Oh, yes. I am working on something to do for the... For the 29th, to celebrate Halloween. So, if you do have a favorite Halloween-themed map for MCC, throw it in our Discord, or shoot me a message on Twitter at Godzilla Todd with the owner's name, the name of the map, and the name of the game type that goes with said map. And we will get those reviewed. I'm going to try to have all the content done the, what is it? I'm going to try to have all the content picked out by the 28th. So get them to me quickly. And I will get this figured out and see what we can come up with. And maybe we'll have a fun night trying to scare each other. Now in Halo 4.
Sounds good.
They used to have one that would work perfect. It was zombies, but you're in a dark cave. And I've got it. I'll have to fire up my customs. I'll have to fire my 360 and see if I still have that custom map to see if I can get it downloaded. But that one would be perfect because you're basically hiding in pitch black, and there's only one zombie.
I don't remember that one. Piz is like, oh god, no, not that one.
Yes.
I don't remember that one, though.
It was good for jump scares. Because not only is it dark, the zombie is also invisible.
Interesting.
So, I'm going to try to locate that one, but I've got to get my 360 fired up and peruse through the files. Back to matchmaking update. Yep. On November 5th, BR Slayer, Halo 2 BR Slayer rotates in for Roman King. On November 12th, CE Anniversary Throwback rotates in for H2 BR Slayer, and Warzone Assault will go live. On November 19th, Griffball rotates in for CE Anniversary Throwback, and on November 25th, we get Triple Team rotating in for Griffball, and Warzone Turbo goes live again.
Turbo time.
Sorry.
And what we got for MCC?
For MCC, those of you that reach rank 20 or higher in this new playlist will unlock the Halo 3 Avalanche Sniper Rifle skin when Season 4 launches. Additionally, our Halloween celebration continues, so be sure to get those taken care of so you can get your nameplates. Playlist changes. Halo 3 ranked Recon Slayer debuts. Halo 2 Classic and Halo 2 Anniversary Hardcore rotates out. Shoddy Snipers will also rotate out. They also fixed a couple of issues. First, where players could not batch against a wider than intended range of players ranked in ranks invasion. And they also fixed an issue where players could exploit rank hoppers by blocking other players. Players doing an exploit? No! They wouldn't do that, would they?
Sarcasm. Yay. So there you go. We have no MCC development updates because, Halo 4 Flighting's happening.
Exactly.
That's pretty much the update, is Halo 4 Flighting's here. Again, if you have a valid Halo Insider profile, you have received an invite, so make sure you go to Waypoint, check your notifications and your inbox.
I will tell you, I did play some of the campaign. Now, granted, this is campaign. But I tell you what, it was running at a nice, smooth 60 FPS.
That's nice.
The only problem I had was during some of the cutscenes, Cortana's lips quit moving. So Cortana was speaking, but her mouth wasn't moving.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny. need to check the known issues. Plasma charging was unbelievably loud. Interesting. Any particular plasma weapon, or is it a particular game mode?
Plasma pistol, or what?
Plasma pistol, plasma rifle, beam rifle, plasma pistol in campaign. Okay. Well, report it. That's what the Halo support's there for. We've got a new community update. This one is titled Colorful Column. There's a few things in here that we are pretty much already aware of. Things like the Halo 4 flighting. There was a tweet that kind of precluded this, but they did mention that there are updates coming for MCC and Halo Wars 2 that will prepare, and Halo 5, that will prepare the platforms to be optimized for Xbox Series X and Series S, and that will support 4K resolution at 120 frames per second on the Series X and 1080p on the Xbox Series S. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I bet the Halo Wars side of things, you're probably excited to have all the extra fine detail added to the game.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because I'm not sure if you guys know, but Halo Wars 2, even on the Xbox One X, it caps at 30 frames per second.
Really?
So if you have, like, say, a big 3v3 battle going on, and you know, there's a huge battle blazing, it's sometimes it's really difficult to even see what's going on. A lot of people, including myself, play on PC because PC goes up to 60 frames per second. This is really good news. I'm really excited to play this on Series X.
That's cool. My default assumption for RTS is it usually plays better on PC anyways because of all the actions that you need all the different keys for.
Yeah, but luckily Halo Wars has such a good control scheme, especially the use of the directional buttons and, you know, the meme that's all units. You know, it works out really well on a gamepad. But I still do think that mouse and keyboard is superior.
All units. All
units.
Local units. Local units.
If you listen very carefully in Halo Wars 1, the announcer has different tones of all units.
He does.
And there's one of them where he's kind of like upset. He's like, all units.
Like, quit pushing the damn button.
Yeah.
I know there's different inflections, but I don't know if I've picked up on like an angry one before.
I guess it's more taken of potentially as passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Units.
Yeah. That's funny. I'll have to see if I pick up on that whenever Bobby, who's one of our community members, and I are working on grinding out the general rank achievement in original Halo Wars, and we're about 3/4 of the way there. So once we try to go back in and grind that out, I'll have to keep an ear out for that.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could play that game anymore, at least competitively.
Out of curiosity, did they mention Halo Wars Definitive Edition is going to be getting any of these improvements?
I didn't see it, but I could have missed it.
I did not see it.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's not.
All they mentioned is Halo Wars 2 right now.
It's fine if they don't. Halo Wars 1 Definitive Edition hit 60 frames per second. On the 1X, you know, the jump to 120 wouldn't be as huge as going from 30 to 120.
Well, and I'm making that assumption a little bit because they basically say that there's an update to improve stability and cross-gen play to support the Series X and S. So I'm making the assumption that they're going to try to support the 4K 120 FPS because, I mean, you want to get the biggest bang out of your buck for the console. So
you want to get all those FPSs.
They're not explicitly saying it, but I'm kind of inferring that hopefully we'll get that kind of update for Halo Wars 2. But they do not mention anything in here about Definitive Edition, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Maybe if the community asks, maybe it'll be a nice little Christmas gift.
Never know.
You never know. For the playlist update, like GT mentioned, for the Recon Slayer, that's in here. That's the new playlist. So if you get rank 20 or higher, you will unlock the Halo 3 Avalanche Sniper Rifle skin. On the Halo esports side of things, there's the next Halo 5 Pro Series and North America Open tournament happening on Saturday, November 14th. For the Halo 5 Pro Series in all the other regions, the next open event is October 24th. So this weekend. And then we've got Halo 3 PC. The next one is taking place tomorrow, October 23rd. So by the time you are listening to this, it will have come and gone if you've downloaded. Well, actually, the podcast will be out tomorrow because I'm going camping and I'm going to get this out tomorrow. Thanks for the new follow there, Nicky Boy One. Thanks for coming on over and dropping by. We've got a couple of competitive team rosters already making the cut on social media. So everyone's probably seen there's like six or so orgs that have solidified their rosters. We've got Team Envy, Sentinels, and Cloud9, all with kind of little introductory videos to their pro teams. So that is still kind of garnering some attention from the competitive side of things. And then we also have this interesting little tournament that's taking place by GT Halo that caught my attention before the podcast, which is kind of right up our alley. It is the GT Halo Paint Row Raid. This is a
action... That GT.
Yes. Greater Toronto GT, not a Godzilla T GT. we've got an action sack style tournament featuring paintball, Rochambeau, Husky Raid, and dodgeball. That sounds pretty cool. Like, that's right up the Podtacular alley.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's this weekend. Registration closes tomorrow or Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific, and then the tournament starts at 9 a.m. Pacific on Sunday. So a little short notice, and I won't be around to participate. But if you have the interest and have the availability to play this weekend, then you can head on over to the GT Halo Twitter. There is a Google Form link that you can fill your team info out. Prizes will include an exclusive HCS Grassroot nameplate and some GT Halo apparel. I would love to participate in something like this, just because it's fun and wacky and really cool to have something like this. I've thought about, like, whenever we have time and we want to put the funds towards it, to having some kind of tournament like this. That's kind of this action stack. So I'm glad they're kind of looking into it. I'm very curious to see what the outcome is, how all the participants enjoy. Hopefully they enjoy it and see how well it's received. And hopefully it's something that they can pull out every now and then, because that'd be really cool to see. And then SWAT Nation has their SWAT-O-Ween tournament. Registration is open at swatnation.net/events until October 27th. And then the tournament will be taking place on October 31st. For the last couple of things, we have the Swarovski Cross Nerf MA40 giveaway. This is another giveaway by Xbox. So we saw the nice big pink one that is a donation for a giveaway for the pink MA40. But now there is a new follow and retweet on the Xbox Twitter for another kind of diamond-studded MA40 blaster. Again, it has 16,000-plus hand-placed Swarovski crystals. And all you have to do is follow and retweet the tweet to enter. Blah, blah, blah. We also had a 343 employee spotlight, this time featuring Grim Brother 1. Finally, someone who actually really know enough to call a friend.
Yeah, I'm going to take some time this weekend to read that. I saw that earlier and I wanted to read it, but I just haven't had time.
Yep. I actually read through it all. Some of the stuff I knew, some of the stuff I didn't know. Like, I knew his background at the University of Florida and all the stuff that he did there with, like, the science department and everything. Then he mentions kind of his early career, but I didn't know that he had a big interest in racing. I wasn't as familiar with that side of it, but it's an interesting read. All the employee spotlights are interesting reads, just to kind of get a little more backstory of all the different personalities that make up the studio. Thank you, Grim Reaps, for following us on Twitch. Welcome to the stream.
Welcome.
And then the latest community controversy. Not really controversy, but a lot of people are voicing their discontent with it at the moment. In Halo Infinite, we are seeing some more armor coatings from things to the weapon coatings, the armor coatings, and also vehicle coatings, which is actually a really cool new thing that you can actually customize the color of.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to be able to customize my vehicles. I don't want more customization. Stop it, 343. I don't want more customization for my characters or my vehicles or my weapons. Stop. If anybody's wondering, yes, I'm being silly.
Hey, Eric, you boo. So there's a little bit of a tizzy on Twitter tonight that the traditional customization for being able to choose like primary and secondary armor colors is looks like it's pretty much not there anymore. So it looks like for the most part, it's the customization system is getting a pretty significant overhaul all the way down to coloring the armor. So at the one hand, it's definitely one of those things that there's definitely going to be some player identity changing. For those that are used to, like, since Halo CE or Halo 2, I guess kind of the Halo 2, Halo 3, more or less, having your own emblem and primary and secondary colors, having to kind of abandon that and unlock or earn some of these armor coatings. That's kind of generated a little bit of a tizzy. Overall,
in other words, what we're saying is the community has no idea what 343 is going to offer for customization, so they're jumping on this and blowing it all out of proportion before they even know anything about it.
The full details, yes. Yep, pretty much.
So, I mean, it is possible that we may not be able to choose our colors, but I highly doubt it. I'm sure there's going to be color options for these armor skins or whatever you want to call them. I don't see them getting rid of the emblem feature, because that's something that's been with Halo since Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, when Halo 3 launched, I lost my emblem because Halo 3 doesn't have my emblem.
Yeah.
So
same here. I've had a different emblem for every Halo game, actually.
You know, it's
definitely one of those creature comfort
things.
There
will be some
changes,
yes. But they also hinted that if we liked Reach's customization, we're going to love Halo Infinite. So we haven't even scratched the surface of the amount of customization we're going to have for our characters, vehicles, and weapons.
Yeah.
And until then, any arguments are pointless.
Until the game's in our laps and we're playing it, then things are still subject to change. The coatings thing is an interesting concept, though, because it, like, even the ability to have the vehicle coating, like they show one off here on the Warthog.
I want a stealth coating so I don't show up on radar. Can I have that?
Ooh, that'd be an interesting idea. Huh.
Well, actually, you could play off of that quite well, because you could say if you apply a stealth coating, you can't sprint.
You have like a Oni stealth obsidian coat.
Well, you know, for something like that, if you're going to have it affect gameplay, there has to be a consequence.
I don't think a coating you would say that would affect gameplay.
No, I mean a real benefit to having the coating. Like, if you applied this coating, you would be invisible on radar. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I get the concept of it. I think it would kind of be abused. But it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting thought.
Well, like you said, with every benefit, there's a cost.
Yeah.
So, like...
But I can see a lot of people out there that don't want cosmetics to impact gameplay.
Well, that's, you know, we call this a coating. Not paint, and they have stealth coatings. They have coatings to make an armor more resilient. So, I know, okay. Random tangent.
Technically, you're correct.
Will they do it? No, they won't.
But it's a nice stream to think about.
Well, the one big reason they wouldn't do it is because it's so hard to balance. But it would be kind of a nifty concept.
Yeah, it would be. And that's pretty much the end of the update. We've also got a new piece of artwork, which I actually haven't seen this art. It's two knights that are disintegrating. I don't know if I've ever seen this artwork before for, I think this is the Halo 4 knight. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen this one before. We've also got a couple of social posts. We have a fan fiction or a Fiction Friday from the Halo account. The Scorpion is the UNSC's main battle tank with the extraordinary track record of success across dozens of planets and hundreds of battlefields. And then today in Halo, the 20th of October, 2552, a Covenant fleet led by the Prophet of Regret arrives at Earth and immediately begins their ambitious assault on New Mombasa, thus kickstarting the events of Halo 2. Yeah, sorry, Windover. Didn't mean to startle you there with fan fiction. And then we've also got a social stream coming up with Halo 4 on PC. Unishek and Alan Riggs, or not Alan Riggs. I'm blanking on his name. Wow, I'm totally blanking on his name. Anyways, they're having a social stream tomorrow to showcase some of the new stuff that is coming with Halo 4 and what's in the flight, what they're testing, all that good stuff.
I'm interested to try in trying the crossplay.
I am too. I'm hoping the flight is longer than just this weekend, because obviously with me camping, I'm not going to be able to play, and I'm not going to, like, the whole game streaming thing just doesn't feel right for a first person shooter, so not going to try that either. But I'm definitely interested once I get back, which hopefully will still be going on by then, to try some crossplay. And Nikki Boy, there is crossplay in the current flight for Halo 4. It is available for everything except campaign, I believe. It's definitely there for multiplayer. It's actually in the update. It is Firefight, Forge, and multiplayer modes. Campaign and Spartan Ops does not currently support crossplay between Xbox and PC. There's some new kind of there's some new Forge pieces in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So on Impact, which is the Space Forge map, there is a broadsword, a pelican, and a troop hog, a passenger hog, that you can spawn. So 343 keeps adding in the Forge goodies into the sandbox.
More goodies, goody.
Nothing about Grim being a guest here, Patros, but we got Andy. He's a little quiet at the moment because we're kind of just running through our update, but we'll get to him pretty
soon. But if Grim would like to come on the show, please contact us, Storm. You know where.
Yes, he has my cell phone number.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay, on to the community highlights. We have Harispus with his review of the latest book, Shadows of Reach, is a non-spoiler review, so feel free to go on over there and give it a read if you would like.
Which I am so happy. Harispus and Halo Canon both do a very good non-spoiler review of the book.
Yeah, Halo Canon, Ian's been very good about doing that for all the Halo mm-hmm. books. Yep. And I know, I keep hearing everyone say it's a good book. I will get there.
Yeah, it's too far. You're soon. So far behind.
Just two books. I'm only two books behind. Remember how far behind I was 2 years ago? Remember how far behind I was this past year? I've made good progress, okay?
But look how far you still are behind. Now you're three books behind.
Three is better than nine.
But you're going the wrong way. You were two, now you're three.
Stop it. Stop it. Oh, geez. On our community content side of things, we have our podcasts, our fellow podcasts out there. We've got HCS Pro Talk episode 149, Pure Roster Mania, where they are undoubtedly going over all the confirmed teams for Halo Infinite. Podcast Evolved, Mission Debrief episode 118. This is for Halo Wars 2, What Could Go Wrong? As a DLC mission. Do you guys, Andrew, do you guys interact at all with the Podcast of All folks when they do their, like, Halo Wars mission debriefs, or you guys listen to them or anything like that?
No, I actually didn't know this was a thing. I'll have to reach out to them.
Yeah, they've done mission debriefs for almost all the Halo games. They started this about 2, maybe 3 years ago. They may have started with either Reach or PC, but they've gone through like mission by mission doing a mission debrief. So yeah, be curious to get your take on it.
Yeah, I'd love to actually listen in on that. I'll have to subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm. They do one probably every week, every other week, depending on how long it takes for them to actually play the mission and then write down their notes and produce a podcast on it. But yeah, we've got Finish the Fight episode 44, Halo Spartan Strike, Sacred Ark on Halo episode number 51, Passing of the Torch. We've got Halo Outreach Podcast, Halo Infinite Leaks and Rumors. Don't like reading that title, but whatever. And then we got episode 10 of the Halo Respawn podcast. Q&A, Infinite Ads, Infinite Merch, and special guests, Hungry Bear's Taco Bell Cup, and more. I still need to go to a Taco Bell and see if I can get one of those Halo cups. On the YouTube side of things, of course, we have quite a few folks with their spoiler-free reviews. Of course, we've got Halo Canon, Hidden Xperia did one as well. We've got one from Installation 00. I think those are the big ones that I'm tracking that had their non-spoiler review. We have a few people talking about the Halo 4 flight. So Green Skull had some videos. General Heed had a video about it as well, with some of the new Forge pieces and some of the changes. We've got another interesting video from General Heed. For those that are comfortable with some light modding, you can still actually load in your 360 saves from Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 into the PC version of MCC. So apparently you can just... So if you have a USB thumb drive, you just move your save files over to that thumb drive. There is a piece of software called Horizon, and it can actually read the Xbox... it's the file system of an Xbox device is an offshoot of the FAT system. It's specifically designed for Xbox, but that client can actually read that file system, and you can go and pull out the files and copy them to your desktop. And all you have to do is basically just rename the .file extension and put it in the correct folder, and it'll launch on MCC without a problem. For any game type that's not modded. Some modded game types and maps work, some don't, but everything that is not modded that he's tested so far has worked successfully with MCC.
I wonder if it'll let you put up on your file share.
That's the next question. He didn't go into details about whether or not you could upload those, but I'm assuming that if you can get it to load, then the game will probably make it to where you could save that file from your private to shared in some mm-hmm. form or capacity. So he didn't test it in the video. I was a little disappointed that he didn't, but it's something worth trying. Hey, Prestige.
His ears must have been burning.
Burning quite a while ago, but yes. So that's an interesting video from General Heat. Definitely something to check out if you had some files that you couldn't fit within your 25 file share slot for some reason. When they did the huge migration of game modes and maps, if you're comfortable, and it's very simple modding. It's you're basically just you're pulling a file off of a thumb drive. It's
not really modding. It's just file transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, you're not, well, I guess you are kind of modifying things, but
yeah, it's technically modding because you're not normally supposed to be able to do that, but you're not really modifying any files in order to do it. So yeah. Anyways, Halo Completionist has he did an Halo 3 ODST Lazo celebration live stream for crossing 30,000 subs on YouTube. That's quite an accomplishment. Way to go, Halo Completionist. I don't know if you mm-hmm. listen to us, but if you have, that's quite a milestone. So way to go.
Most definitely. Congrats.
Yep. And there's a kind of a joke-ish video, or at least I kind of think it's a little bit more of a joke-ish video from Rejected Shotgun, which is the most terrifying mystery of Halo. It's kind of a dramatic retelling of the Ghost of Lockout. It's an entertaining video. I'll say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd actually almost forgot about that.
Oh, yeah?
I really had. I'd almost forgot about the Ghost of Lockout. And then I saw that and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yep. And then we have a video from Marty O'Donnell. He actually found someone who does spray paint art and commissioned someone and did a unboxing video on his channel. And he also linked to the artist who made the painting. For those in the Twitch chat, I'm going to go ahead and link it because it's a really cool art piece. It is it's a custom piece and it has all the seven Halo rings and it has Marty. It's a silhouette of a person playing a piano on a rock. And I think it's supposed to be Marty pretty much. But it's a really cool piece. It's about a 20-minute video for the actual speed video of him doing the spray paint art. And then Marty has his unboxing for it. So it's, if you're into that kind of thing, give it a watch. And since Andrew's here, we might as well read these off. We've got two videos from Team Respawn. We've got How to Super Turtle, a Halo Wars 2 Beginner's Guide, and Worst Base Layout Ever, a Halo Wars 2 Multiplayer video.
Yeah. There's I guess kind of a code of guidelines that you should go through when you're building bases in Halo Wars 2. And in that video, I saw one of the opponents put two generators on a mini base. And that's like a huge infraction in Halo Wars. Even putting one on a mini base is pretty bad because it's, you know, you can easily destroy it. Generators are really expensive. And there were two of them on there. And they lost the game because that mini base got destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I generally put my generators under as much protection as I can afford.
I'll do generators on the mini bases, like right by the main bases. But as I reach out, I'll try to keep those as much supply or like a vehicle or an air pad slot if I need those out that far. Last video I want to mention is a Defend the House Halo 3 Mythbusters. There is a projectile special that they have. For some artwork, we've got more teases from Vin Gattuso. We've got his rendition of a Mark VII Spartan. We've also got another one that's kind of Halo Infinite influenced. He says, to stand a chance against the Banished in Halo Infinite, you'll need some brand new armor. So this is kind of... This was actually before the community update hit today. So it's just kind of taking a look at some possible different custom armor within Halo Infinite. Cole Protocol has a image that he did that is harkening back to Halo 4. And then Ascend Hyperion has his Halo 4 Ascend Spartan, but in Halo 5 style that he did.
Kind of looks like they're looking at the Death Star.
It kind of does.
I'm like, so are we doing a Star Wars Halo crossover again?
Nope, that's just Requiem. And I was able to go through all those because there wasn't a lot in that section this week.
It was a light week.
It's a light week all around. And then Trivia Tuesday was kind of a toss-up. You want to read that one, GT? It's really a toss-up.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Halopedia's Trivia Tuesday. Did you know that Troy Dennings, author of Halo Shadows of Reach, was released today? Are you excited? We are. I am. It'll be another 6 months before Dust reads it, so.
It will not be 6 months. You can mark my words on that. It will not be 6 months.
Okay.
I've done a good job catching up this year. Don't spoil my bad reputation more than it already is.
Let's see. You've already got 2 months in the current book, or at least a month and a half.
Which I plan to get through quite a bit of it this weekend, because I'm going camping.
You should be done with it.
You know, there's this other project that I'm working on called The Halo Mole. Episode 4 comes out this weekend. It's the longest episode that's going to be in the series.
Do you have all the time you sleep?
I need my beauty rest, though. I don't know what you do with your sleep. I need my beauty rest.
Yes, you do need your beauty rest.
Oh, geez. But I plan to get through a huge chunk of that this weekend, if not. If I don't finish it. I don't think I'll finish it, but I'll at least be halfway through it this weekend. Okay. The main reason we have Andrew here. Hi, Bob.
This looks good enough to eat. Nom, nom.
Don't eat me, Bob. I promise I'll eat it, I swear. I swear. Don't eat me.
All right. So, Andrew, you've been on before, but it's been a while. So, with Halo 2, or Halo Wars 2, still, I guess it's kind of entered into extended support, if you want to look at it that way. Not a lot of huge changes being made. A lot of the balance changes are probably done at this point. But how does the Halo Wars 2 community continue to kind of just go on with kind of the extended support cycle?
I think a lot of the content creators have a big part in keeping the game going. There's a lot of other content creators besides me that do all sorts of videos. There's there's a group of guys on YouTube, Really Good Gaming. They try to do like epic unit testing and just make machinimas based off of Halo Wars 2. There's a handful of streamers that do tournaments with the high level players, you know, that a lot of people are interested in watching. I think that Halo Wars 2 is unique in that there's really no other game like it on console, period. And I think the mix of it being not only a good RTS game, but it mixed in with Halo, it has a lot of staying power. And there's a group of guys that they have an API that actually tracks the player counts for Halo Wars 2, and the populations, it's actually higher than most people think. A lot of people think it's a dead game that no one plays, but that's not true. Tens of thousands of people still play it every week.
Oh, wow. So
it's still alive and kicking. And I think it's just because there's a lot of variety in the game. There's a lot you can do. And I think crossplay has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, that's probably a good point with it. Do you know if that stat breaks down who's on console and who's on PC, or is that just kind of global users?
I think it's global. If I had to guess, I think most people do play on console. You know, to get Halo Wars 2 on PC, you have to go through the Microsoft Store, which everyone hates.
Yeah.
It is a Play Anywhere title. I know with the rise of Game Pass, Xbox Play Anywhere has kind of been forgotten about. But it is supported. So if you buy it on one, you get it on the other, at least digitally.
Yep. I'm definitely a PC person when it comes to RTS. Even though I'm not great at it, that is what I prefer to use if I'm ever playing RTS.
Yeah, I agree.
I bounce back and forth.
Did you guys see that a lot of people were posting theories on Twitter a few months ago on what the MCC team will do once they're done with Halo 4? I don't know if you guys have spoken about it on the show yet or not.
I didn't know there was an actual Twitter thread. We've talked just kind of informally of what we would like to see, like, briefly. We did have last week a community survey that we did of if there was like a Halo 2 map that wasn't remade for Halo 2 Anniversary, what would you like to see made if they wanted to introduce a new map? But I didn't know there was a Twitter thread going on of like kind of guesses of what they would do. I know they're looking at, from the previous community update, they're looking at maybe pulling in the maps from Halo Online into Halo 3, but other than that, I haven't seen anything else. Yeah. Have you seen anything, GT?
No, I hadn't seen anything. I honestly figured they would start working on, you know, the wish list.
Yeah.
Well, everyone has their own desire for what that team will do when they're done.
Of course.
You know, for me, selfishly, I really, really want them to move Halo Wars 2 onto Steam. I think it's so strange on the Halo Wars landscape currently. Halo Wars Definitive Edition is on Steam. It's also a Xbox Play Anywhere title, but it does not have crossplay. So Windows is stranded, Steam is stranded, and Xbox is stranded. But Halo Wars 2 is only on Xbox and Windows, and it has crossplay, but it's not on Steam. So we just think that the Halo Wars community as a whole really wants it to come to Steam because, of course, it'll pick up a lot of players. You add crossplay in there. You know, the player counts will skyrocket. It's probably pretty... My guess is that it'll be pretty easy to port to Steam since it's already on PC to begin with. And this MCC team, of course, is moving old games onto Steam with, you know, ones that never even released on PC, like Halo 3 and Halo 4. So to have these guys and their expertise, what they learned moving a console game over to Steam, I think it's relatively easy that they can move Halo Wars 2 over to Steam. So that's my wish, but I don't know if it'll happen.
I mean, that makes sense because some of the team that is on the kind of the MCC, the PC move, was on the Halo Wars 2 team, like Postums.
Right, and Renzi as well. Those were the two guys that really took the helm of Halo Wars when it shifted from Creative Assembly to 343.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely have the experience, and, you know, the guys are familiar with that game. You know, part of me thinks that Microsoft would like to have every Halo game playable on Steam. I think with MCC being at the top of the sales charts, it really shows that people do want Halo on PC, and they'll show it with their money. And, you know, Halo Wars 1 Definitive Edition has sold really well on Steam, too, if you look at the sales charts for it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We will see. Right now, a lot of people want Halo 5 to come to Steam.
Yes, I've seen that, too.
So, if they do one, I think it's certain they'll have to do the other.
Yeah. Well, I see it being maybe a little bit easier of a move to put Halo Wars 2 onto Steam. Halo 5 is a little bit more of a stretch because they don't have Halo 5 in full on the Windows Store. They just have the Halo 5 Forge. So if they were to do that, there's still quite a bit of PC tinkering they would have to do. Probably just specifically to make sure campaign fits right and matchmaking and all that stuff. But with all the stuff that they're doing with MCC, getting that to be, I mean, with this flight, they're doing cross-platform play on Halo 4. And they've done all the work to make sure all the titles are working and compatible with PC. I'm assuming a lot of that kind of work wouldn't directly translate, but would translate pretty closely to Halo 5. So I could see both happening, really. Mm-hmm. If they really wanted to make it happen, then I think they have the talent to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, even if they don't, Game Pass still brings in new players to Halo Wars 2. You know, even now when I play matches, I still see low-level players, and you know, almost all of them come from Game Pass, which is great. You know, having a new influx of new players, you know, helps keep the game fresh. People are curious, you know, how does this game play? And, you know, I think a lot of people get enjoyment out of it because, you know, of course, people still watch my YouTube videos. So I think that makes it seem that the community as a whole for Halo Wars, I actually think is relatively pretty good. You know, all of the streamers that stream Halo Wars get really good views. All the other Halo Wars content creators get really good views. I just think that people care about this game a lot more than it seems to believe. And I think that's just kind of because Halo's so big that all the other Halo projects going, like MCC and Infinite, overshadow it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Halo Wars is as dead as people think.
Okay. I mean, that's good to hear that it's still got quite a good audience behind it and people are playing. And another question I have is, how is the seasons and the ranking stuff holding up? Like, are they are there still like seasons resets, or is it kind of just it's an extended season? So you're if you're still playing that, you're just kind of you're expanding on the rank that you're currently sitting on, or is there a normal reset like they have in Halo 5 where they've expanded it to basically every quarter now?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to how Halo 5 works. You know, of course, when the game first came out, there was a season reset frequently. Now it's pretty much whenever they do a balance patch, you know, changing the balance structure of units, they'll do a season reset there. So we've only had one season reset in 2020 so far. But to be honest, I think that's fine. I usually play unranked anyway, so when a season changes, it doesn't really impact me. I find unranked to be a little bit more casual, you know, just to enjoy the game and not see how high of a rank you can get.
Right.
But that's just my play style, of course. There's a lot of people who enjoy playing ranked, and I actually think ranked ones is the most popular playlist. I could be wrong about that.
Interesting.
But people do enjoy ranked, but yeah, it has slowed down. Hopefully we'll get one maybe by the end of the year, maybe early next year. Usually a lot of the pro players or the guys who are really good at the game, they'll eventually reach out to 343 and you know, ask for a balance change, and they usually come around and do it then. So it's a matter of time.
Okay, very nice. You have any questions, GT?
Actually, yeah. With all the balance changes that Halo Wars 2 has received over its life so far, how balanced is the game?
That's a good question.
Are we down to just little tweaks, or are there still some major tweaks that need to be done?
By and large,
and how do you feel about them?
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. The people are very vocal about the balance of Halo Wars 2. I don't know if that's the case for every RTS. I'm sure it is. But yeah, right now, I'd actually say the balance is pretty good. If we were to rewind, say, before July was when we got our last balance patch, it was pretty horrible. So early this year, I would say is either January or late last year, like this time in 2019, they did a balance change where they said that their heat map said that vultures weren't as good as they expected them to be. So they buffed vultures to where they were pretty much nukes, flying nukes.
Oh my gosh.
What a lot of people would do is they would play as UNSC and play as one of the leaders that got combat salvage, which if you lose, you activate the power. And if you lose, I think it's 7 vehicles, you'll get them to respawn for free at your base. So they would make mass vultures fly over to your base, use the Y ability, and that would auto take out your base if you weren't kind of camping, expecting it. And if you so happen as to stop that attack, well, they activated combat salvage, so they got all their vehicles back, and they send a second wave.
Oh my god!
And that really ruined the game for a long time. It was just really, really bad. So thankfully, in this patch that just came out a few months ago, they really leveled up the playing field, and I would say it's in a really good spot. However, UNSC is still pretty inferior to Banished. And there's a few reasons why, but I'd say one of the biggest is UNSC does not have a shield generator turret. So, you know, your base is pretty much exposed at all times. Whereas with Banished, you have that shield generator turret to, you know, kind of take the blast of an initial attack. Hmm. Banished also have better leader powers. They have better heroes. And they're just a more creative field of leaders than UNSC. But it's not like UNSC is unplayable. It's just that if you're going to do, say, 3v3, you really should have some sort of Banished hero on your team.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever I was doing achievement grinding with Bobby, one of our community members, Banished was typically what I leaned to play for the games that we needed to.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think Banished is more fun to play. You have some really good leaders like Colony with the Skitters.
I love Colony.
The Hunter Captain is a fan favorite. you know, you also have Vordis, who's really unique, and Pavium, that's really cool. You know, even the OG leaders, like Atriox, is a lot of fun to play as. UNSC's fun, too, but there are some leaders that really lag behind, like Serena and Kensano. You know, just, they don't hold up with some of the other leaders, and, you know, you just gotta, there are people who have lower tier leaders that play great because they know how to use them very well. But, you know, to answer your original question, the balancing, I think, is in a really good spot.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, the reason I ask is because, you know, I also play Destiny, and their PvP is a nightmare to balance because of all the different weapons and abilities and stuff like that. And I wanted to see how another, not really comparable game because it's a different genre, but it still has the complexity of Destiny, to see how it would compare, to see if, you know, there was any hope that Bungie could ever balance Destiny, but doubt it.
Yeah. you know, I will give 343 a lot of credit that they do a good job of listening to the Halo Wars community when, you know, they are complaining about a particular balance change. So when they did this recent round, Kinsano's Hell Charge ability was buffed so much that it was just way too good for being the very first power you can get at the start of a match. And, mm-hmm. you know, they nerfed it really quickly. So they do listen. You know, of course, when they were initially rolling out the DLC leaders back in, 2017 when Halo Wars 2 came out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would accidentally drop the ball because they didn't know how the new DLC leader would interact with everything else. So there's like a whole season where the Forge Hog was like invincible.
Yeah.
So, you know, every hero has had its ups and downs, but right now it's in a really good spot. I think this is a really good time to jump in and just enjoy Halo Wars no matter who you pick.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing that I noticed when, you know, they were announcing all these new leaders, and I kind of understood. I understood why, because they don't know what people can do with these things. You know, you have players that, you know, they eat and breathe, you know, multiplayer on Halo Wars, you know, more so than the developer even does. So,
yeah,
you know, they work every strategy out to maximize the abilities of each leader. And, you know, so they can, you know, take advantage any little tweak that is made by the developer, they can turn it into a winning strategy.
That's true. Yeah, there's even still some exploits that are still out there that the developers didn't even know that were exploits. An example is, if you are facing someone who's banished and they have a bunch of choppers early on in the game and they use the Y ability to ram, like, say, some of your Marines, if you move your global rally flag into the path of the choppers, it'll block the choppers' ram.
Really?
yeah, it's still in there. Another one, too, is if you have a jackrabbit, you tell your jackrabbit to attack a unit, and then you tell it to move, like, you know, a few feet and then attack again, you can dramatically increase the fire rate of your jackrabbit, because it, when you tell it to move, it resets the counter of the attack firing rate. So mm-hmm. you can have your jackrabbit fire almost as fast as you want if you have a high enough APM.
Huh.
So things like that still exist that I think are, from my understanding, are hard to patch, so they'll stay in the game. But, you know, granted, the amount of people who are using these kinds of exploits is fairly low.
Well, also, if they're a known exploit, then I'm sure there's ways that you can alter your gameplay to avoid them.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Another example is on it's on Frontier, the power nodes near that huge metal thing in the center where it has all the ramps.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your Marines on the metal platform and shoot the Sentinels, they won't shoot back. But if you're on the ground, they will. So that's a way to get like an advantage early on in the game. There's all of these exploits all over the place. But thankfully, there's nothing that's like game breaking or can change the tide of an entire match. It's just little annoyances here or there.
Yeah.
And I don't think the developers, you know, it's not that they had messy code. I think it's just they didn't understand or realize that players could use these exploits in the ways that they're using them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't realize they were exploits.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they're. It's like when, you know, you get these players speedrunning campaigns and they're breaking out of maps. The developer didn't design the game for the player to break out of the map.
Well, it's called working as designed.
Yeah. The player goes above and beyond what any normal player would do to find these cracks in the code.
Right.
Well, and like all the people that do speedrunning in like the Halo FPS games, and then for Halo, where you're trying to find ways in which the code or how it was coded allows you to do things that the developers weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So you get these little glitches, and it's like, okay, how do I undo this in code? If it's even possible to undo it in code. I mean, you take the sword lunge in Halo 2, that is because it swapped your reticle before it checked if you were like if the range, the reticle range should change or not. So sometimes it's that order of operations. Sometimes it's a quick fix like that. But sometimes there's just intricacies in the code that's like in order to make this fix, it's rewriting entire sections of how the game interacts.
Which is pretty much why MCC is MCC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that. Well, it's the truth. Problems that 343 has had with MCC they're directly related to the spaghetti code that is Halo.
It is. Yeah.
And it's not that it's bad code. It's just, it was designed in a different area for different era for a different machine.
Did you guys ever hear the tale of how the NSA broke Halo Wars 2 earlier this year?
Oh no, did not hear that one.
The government agency, or
yes,
no.
So it's a long story. I'll try to keep it short. The NSA posted a security vulnerability announcement that there was a potential high risk security vulnerability with one of Microsoft's, I think it was C++ libraries.
Oh, yes. And, I do remember hearing about
and,
that.
And Microsoft, because they said like an attacker could get like complete control of a machine and there's nothing you could do about it. So Microsoft freaked out and patched this thing in like a day. And of course, Microsoft is so huge, they couldn't test everything that was affected by it. So this was a Windows update, so everyone on a Windows machine downloaded this update. Well, Halo Wars 2 called this library that had this vulnerability, and what this patch did was it changed the behavior of the library, and this affected the right mouse button click. And what ended up happening is every time you hit right mouse button click in Halo Wars 2, the game would crash.
Wow.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah,
this actually was a problem for, it was like 3 weeks, because 343 needed to find out, you know, what part of the code base was affected. They had to, they actually had to find someone, from my understanding, that had the expertise of how this library interacted with the whole game. They had to know the scope of the bug. They had to, you know, take a guy off of the MCC team. It actually, I think it delayed one of the flightings for Reach, because they had to pull like 4 or 5 guys off the MCC team to work on Halo Wars 2 for this.
Jeez.
And then they had to patch it, roll it out. I mean, it was a huge thing. But yeah, the NSA broke Halo Wars 2 earlier this year.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that now. at the time, we were right around the time where I think we were working on Halo Wars 2 achievements. And once that issue came out, we couldn't really play, so I hopped on MCC achievements for a little bit, and then we came back to Halo Wars 2 after that, I believe, for achievements.
So the workaround was, if you're on PC, you had to play on controller, because controller worked.
Hmm.
And then it worked on Xbox as well, but you couldn't do mouse and keyboard on PC.
Wow. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how stuff like that works.
It's with how complicated code is these days. Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, I work throughout my job career. I've worked with custom built software to do a specific thing. So, yes, I understand that. They fix one thing and break four others.
Yep.
Right.
There was at one time
spaghetti code.
There was at one point I could not order anything through the computer from anywhere for about 3 weeks because they pushed out an update and it basically erased all the information it needed to find the places I needed to order stuff from.
Backups?
No, it couldn't find the information. The information was still there, but they screwed something up where the software couldn't find the information in its database. And it took them 3 weeks to figure out why. And this happened.
That's why coders used to get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Usually.
And this happened in 20 stores nationwide.
Ooh. Ouch.
Several hundred stores nationwide, but 20 of them had this problem. So it's like, okay, what was different at these 20 stores? Nobody knows. I don't think they ever did figure out why it happened. They figured out how to fix it, but I don't think they ever figured out why it happened.
That's interesting. That could be a whole slew of things.
Gotta love Java.
Oh, it was Java.
Oh yeah.
Jeez. Well, there's one of your problems.
Well, that's where the interface was. That's what our interface was. That's what it used. The server itself was actually a distribution of Linux. But
so it could have been something as simple as just a different version of the runtime environment.
It could have been. I really don't know. They never did share.
Wow.
TechSupport never really does share information.
And usually not unless you try to pry it out of them. Sometimes they'll give in. So we have a question here from Windhover18. What is a really good RTS you would recommend to someone at this time?
Halo Wars 2.
I'm guessing that's other than Halo Wars 2, I'm guessing is what that question is for.
It may be lame, but if you have if you haven't played Halo Wars 1, I think Halo Wars 1 is fantastic. Microsoft is also going through and remastering all the Age of Empires games. So they just rolled out their last remaster this week. Age of Empires 3 was remastered, and all of those are on Game Pass for Game PC. Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also on Steam for fairly cheap. Age of Empires 2, of course, is a legendary RTS game. You know, that game is over 20 years old, and it's still getting expansion packs and balance updates.
Really?
Yeah. When they, there was a modding team, they're called Forgotten Empires, and they made like a modded campaign of Age of Empires 2. I could be messing up this story, by the way, so don't quote me on this. And Microsoft was so impressed by their work, they released it as a real expansion pack. And those guys made two or three expansion packs for Age of Empires 2. And then Microsoft decided to remaster that game. And the remaster came with a new expansion pack as well.
Wow.
So that game has a lot of content in it. It has something ridiculous, like 12 or 14 campaigns. In Age of Empires 2.
Okay.
So you get a lot of content if you want to play that. Other mentions that I really enjoy, Company of Heroes I think is fantastic. Ancestor's Legacy is really good. You know, even Command & Conquer, you can get the ultimate pack of Command & Conquer on Origin. It has every CNC game. Normally goes on sale for like $10. And there is a mod to restore the online functionality for those games if you want to play online still.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a bunch. You know, there's also some really good turn-based ones. I think people who like Halo Wars will enjoy Gears Tactics. It's very similar to XCOM, but I think it's pretty easy to pick up and play, and it's going to be a launch title for the Series X.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A launch, like, there's a new XCOM, or, like, just a remaster of XCOM?
Sorry, I meant Gears Tactics will be a launch title for the Series X.
Okay.
It's on PC right now, and that's on Game Pass, but the console version is launching with the launch of the Series X.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And it's also coming to Xbox One as well, for those who aren't fortunate enough to snag one of those limited pre-orders.
I'm content with my gaming rig.
I have my Scorpio.
Yeah. I was able to get a Scorpio edition. I was quite bummed that they didn't do a day one branding of the Series X.
I'm kind of glad they didn't.
It would just make eBay inflated even more so.
Pretty much. I mean, honestly, I own a day one edition of the Xbox One, and I bought it 8 months after it launched.
Oh, geez, that's funny.
And I bought it brand new, sealed, retail packaging at retail price.
Well, the only difference with the day one is it just has day one text on the controller. Like, the console is exactly the same.
Oh, really?
On the outside, yeah, the plastic is exactly the same. It's just the controller that basically says day one edition.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that controller lasted about 6 months until I tried to drive the one of the thumbsticks through the circuit board.
Mine started having stick drift, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I went kind of past stick drift.
It sounds like it. Mine's sitting over on
the stick started.
On my
shelf. Stick started drifting south.
South through the controller?
Yeah, I was playing some Halo 5 and was in multiplayer. And at the time, I was using the push down on the thumbstick for melee.
Mm-hmm.
So I meleeed somebody and it went crunch. And I'm like,
ooh.
I'm like, well, I guess I'm done playing for tonight.
Can't move anywhere or can't look anywhere.
Well, I can still look and I can still move and look, but it wasn't real precise.
Oh, it was like, yeah. Wow.
Every time I move the stick, I hear crunch. Crunch?
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, man. So to follow on GT's question, and we'll cover a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up. But after all the balance updates and everything that's gone through changes with Halo Wars 2, what's your favorite leader to play as?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, right? It changes as time goes on. I'd say right now with this particular season, I'm a big fan of Captain Cutter.
Really?
Yeah, you know, there's really not a bad option on his entire leader wheel. You know, from the first one to the last one, every single point that you can get on that wheel is good. You know, the ODST drop is fantastic. The really most underrated leader point on Cutter's wheel is the Cyclops drop, because it drops a Vet 2 Cyclops. And, you know, that thing can just absolutely demolish Wraiths, Marauders. You know, it can even start annoying Scarabs. You know, it's a really, really good drop. And Cutter overall is nothing but drops in offensive leader power. So that's just my play style. So, you know, he has Archer missiles. He has close air support. He has two different ODST drops. He has, you know, the turret drops still. You know, Cutter's just a good leader. And, you know, I really like that he's really good because he's one of the free leaders. If one of the DLC leaders was the most OP, I think people would take a little bit of an insult to that.
Mm.
You know, Colony's really good. He's one of my favorites. He's a fan favorite. I mean, everyone loves Colony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say those two. One Banished, one UNSC.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember ODST rushing in Halo Wars. a lot.
Yeah, especially in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mash down the A button, he goes, oh, 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 ODSTs.
Huh? Yeah, all the little action responses.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
You also, as not you specifically, but you as a community, back when Halo 2 launched, you teamed up with Breaking the Clutch and another group to host some Halo Wars 2 tournaments, and you had a season going on, and I know with kind of with the age of Halo Wars 2, that's not happening as regularly now, but is that something that as a community you guys still look to try to do at some point, like doing tournaments, or is it kind of just a lot of informal competitive stuff at this point? What's the competitive scene look like right now?
It's mostly informal. The group that you're referring to was called Halo Wars, the HWCL, the Halo Wars Championship League.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a initiative that community channels would run the tournaments, but these tournaments were sponsored and endorsed by 343. So we had prizes that 343 would, you know, allow us to give away and those sorts of things. And it lasted for a while. I think the problem with that league was we kept seeing the same three or four people end up in the finals.
Hmm.
So I think it got a little stale. There are tournaments still going on. There's a couple of smaller communities that focus exclusively on tournaments. We do them, you know, seldomly from time to time myself. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time to set one up, but there are communities out there that still do these sorts of things. They're mostly actually on Twitch than YouTube. You just need to know if people specifically want communities to look for, I'm happy to give them some answers in Discord. Liam is a guy that hosts a lot of tournaments. Yoda does so as well. There's a group called Halo Wars Tournament Central. They do tournaments from time to time.
Okay. So
they're still out there. They're just, I guess, not as big as they used to be. I think a lot of the major audience has moved on to the next game. Halo Wars 2 is almost 4 years old at this point. So, I don't blame
them. Wow. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. That's
time
right.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And last question I have is, how do you, like, I think when Halo Wars came out, you weren't making as much YouTube videos, but now you're on a routine schedule of making content. How do you decide what content to make? Because you have a couple of different types of videos that you make as far as, like, how to play certain leaders, just some overall, like, multiplayer gameplay that you upload. How does your content schedule, and how do you figure out what kind of content you want to make in this kind of day and age of where Halo Wars 2 is at?
Yeah. You know, I really like to take feedback from my audience, what they want to watch. I think a lot of content creators forget that the content creator themselves more or less doesn't really decide what they make. Your audience actually decides that for you. You know, if you're smart, you'll see what your audience likes and doesn't like, and then you kind of take feedback and improve from there. But I really like to try and have a variety of stuff. I have different people, almost subgroups of my audience that like particular things that I upload. I have a group of people that really like our Super Turtle series, which is, I said earlier that, you know, we try to have games last as long as possible, sometimes hours on end. People, for whatever reason, they'll say they want to use their afternoon to watch a Super Turtle game. You know, and that's fine. I have a group of people that really enjoy our Mythbusters series, which is like unit testing. And people who just like to enjoy our casual multiplayer games. So I think it's important to keep it entertaining for your audience so your content doesn't get stale. And have something that would encourage them to pick up and play Halo Wars again. You know, if there's an interesting unit test, they may try out the results on their own in a multiplayer match or something. The goal I want to have is I want to share my love of Halo Wars with as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. So I try to just keep that mindset whenever making content, but to keep a regular schedule, I usually will sit down, you know, a couple times a week and just record for a couple of hours of some multiplayer games. And then usually every morning I'll sit down and edit the day's video and upload it. And then, you know, I have a group of people who, of course, I need help for Mythbusters. I can't, you know, do that on my own. So
sure.
I'm fortunate enough to have people who love to help with that series as well. So it's really just a time management, I suppose.
Cool. Very nice.
It's fun. It's a fun hobby.
It sounds like you enjoy it, so that's good.
Yeah, I love making content, and I love the game. You know, this was never something that... I know there's a lot of people who join YouTube because they think that they want it to become their career, or they want to, you know, become a big, famous person. And, you know, that's fine. That's just not my objective. My objective is I just want to let people know I love Halo Wars. I'm assuming that's partly the reason why Podtacular has such a record length. You know, I think it's because you guys love Halo.
Yeah, it's definitely not our full-time jobs.
Yeah, we definitely don't do it for the money.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But yeah. We do appreciate all the subs and patrons that we have. Oh, so we're definitely appreciative of that.
Yeah, YouTube, they can be tough on creators sometimes with their sudden rule changes, and people have issues with their copyright policies and how they can auto demonetize you and stuff like that. But people will push through that because they love what they do. You know, it's they get enjoyment out of it, and so do their viewers. So. Yep. It's all good for the Halo community.
Yeah, I mean, I put stuff on my own YouTube channel, but it's just for fun stuff. I mean, you know, it's just stuff that I want to share. I'm not doing it for a career.
Right, and that's exactly my mentality as well. I'm just fortunate enough that people enjoy watching what I post, and, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, I think every community that has a dedicated and positive audience feels the same way.
Well, that's good. It's good to hear that you're still committing to it and that people are engaged with the content that you're making, and it sounds like there's still a good population to really keep interest going.
Yeah. I think, you know, RTSs can be overwhelming. You know, they're complicated. There's so many units, so many different powers, maps, you know, for someone who's new to this genre, it's really overwhelming. And I think Halo Wars does a really good job of holding your hand into that genre. So if anyone listening is curious, try it out. You may enjoy it.
I tell you what, I was definitely not into RTSs before the original Halo Wars. And the barrier to entry in that game was very low.
Yeah. You know, especially if you try out campaign, I think the missions of especially Halo Wars 1, you know, it gently guides you into progression of building units,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, buildings and turrets and powers and all that. It really gets you antiquated with everything. So when you go to multiplayer, you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I know when I did my legendary playthrough, I really had to come up with tactics.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't crank it up to legendary, it definitely doesn't hold your hand.
Yeah, especially Arcadia City. That's a notoriously difficult.
I
wish the game did a better job of letting you know no matter what you did, one of those pods was going to die.
Yeah.
So you should just really abandon one of them and just go defend the other two.
Well, legendary, you basically have to ignore that one.
Yeah. After my third playthrough of that mission, I figured, you know, it's going to die regardless, so why bother?
Right.
You know, exactly. I just focus on, you know, fortifying the other two. And on legendary, I basically just packed all my units around one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I just let the other two go and packed everything around one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolverines, the Spartans, you know, whatever I had. And I didn't even worry about destroy or attacking the Covenant base or any of that stuff.
Yeah. You just got to hold your ground on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely sounds like a good shining endorsement to have someone try out Halo Wars 2. If you love RTSs, Halo Wars is actually a really good franchise to ease mm-hmm. into it. Like how they did it for Halo Wars on the Xbox 360 when it first came out was a very, like, it's interesting because Halo Combat Evolved really helped redefine how you play shooters on a console.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like Halo Wars kind of did the same thing for RTSs.
It yes. did. It's just unfortunate the entire genre kind of died in the wake of Halo Wars came out when MOBAs were getting big.
Mm-hmm.
And MOBAs kind of killed RTS. Mm. They're still around. They're just not as big as they used to be. I mean, the 90s were the peak decade for RTS. But yeah, I think Halo Wars story, I think the story of Halo Wars is fantastic. You know, it's its own little piece of a Halo storyline that doesn't have Master Chief in it. And I think it's actually a really well-written story. And, you know, Halo Wars 2 does a good job that it continues the characters that we love from Halo Wars 1.
Mm-hmm.
But it went on its own story. And you didn't have to play the first game to understand what was going on in Halo Wars 2. It just made that experience better. And they're kind of taking that mindset and doing it again with Infinite, because the Banished seem to be the main enemy faction in Infinite, and they were first introduced in Halo Wars 2.
Actually, that was one other question I had thought of and I forgot to ask, and this will be my very last question, but how was the reaction from the Halo Wars 2 community, or the Halo Wars community, when you heard that the Banished was going to be one of the main antagonists for Infinite?
I think it was kind of mixed. You know, a lot of people were excited that a mainline Halo game is taking something that started in Halo Wars and then building upon it. Usually, it's always been the other way around. You know, in the Halo Infinite trailer, Brohammer was talking about how we saw Condors, which is the super unit in Halo Wars 2.
Yep.
But I think people were kind of bummed because with 343 saying that Infinite will be the next 10 years of Halo, and the Banished are going to be the main enemy faction in Infinite, that may seem like they're shutting the door on a Halo Wars 3. So I think people were kind of saddened by the news that it seems to be like Halo Wars 3 may not happen for quite some time. And, you know, that's the case with Halo Wars 2. It took 8 years in between Halo Wars 1 and Halo Wars 2. So, true. You know, we may get a Halo Wars 3. I don't know, but I think Infinite's going to be, you know, the flagship for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what most Halo Wars fans are excited about, is they want to see if they can take those characters like Atriox and Cutter and Jerome and Anders. Halo Wars 2 ends on a cliffhanger, so, you know, maybe that will get answered in Infinite. We'll have to
see. Very well could.
Of course, you know, they could always take that storyline and not do anything with it and save it for a Halo Wars 3.
They could.
I mean, I don't know that they will, but, and, you know, they may not use all of it. They may use some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot in there that could lead into a Halo Wars 3.
There is.
There's a lot just within the Halo universe that could.
Yeah. I just don't know. It really all comes down to community demand for the game. I mean, that's what got Halo Wars 2 going,
mm-hmm.
was the demand for the game. You know, if the community stays diligent, it might just happen.
I think that this is kind of why I come back to the Steam release. Mm-hmm. There's people who are begging, myself included, for this to come to Steam, and this will show that we will vote with our money, that not only do people love Halo Wars, but they want this to continue. And, you know, if we don't get it on Steam and we don't get a Halo Wars 3, and if it doesn't get wrapped up in Infinite, I would love to have these characters continue in a Halo Wars centered novel. I think that taking the characters of Halo Wars in the spirit of fire, there's a lot there, and it could continue in novels. You know, there's trilogies of, you know, different characters that don't even appear in Halo games. You know, I think there's a lot of content there. Even, you know, what happens in between Halo Wars 1 and 2. I know most of them are in cryosleep, but, you know, maybe do some of them awaken for some sort of threat.
Actually, you know, there are some stories out there that take place between 1 and 2.
There's a comic. Yeah, I think it's Anders fights off like a flood infection of some sort.
Oh, I haven't run across that. That's something I've missed too.
Yeah.
It's like one of those mini comics, I believe.
It's a little mini story. It's also where Serena takes her final dispensation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. Oh.
I thought it was so cool they opened up Halo Wars 2 with that.
That is cool. Wow. All right. Very nice. GT, did you have a final question?
I got one last question.
Go for it.
What in the world inspires you to Super Turtle?
You know, come to think of it, I don't even know why we started doing it. One of my good friends, Ed, and I think it came all the way back to Halo Wars 1 on the map Terminal Moraine. Do you know that map?
Yes.
Yes.
The bases on the left and right side, kind of in the middle, there's that disappearing bridge. And there's the base there. And I think there were like three or four instances where we would kind of be stuck there because we lost all of our other bases. And we see how long we can survive there. And I think it just kind of evolved into what it is now. There's a map in Halo Wars 2 that I think is really designed for super turtling. It's Sentry. And it's so good for turtling. I mean, so we have some rules, and it's like you never go on the opponent's side of the map, ever. You know, and you make siege turrets, you make Kodiaks and blister bags, and you make anti-air units, so you're really defended on all sides, and you just really see, I guess more or less, it's kind of rude to see how much time we can waste on the opposing team. We've had instances where people will message us on Xbox Live, and they'll be begging us to quit, and it's kind of unfortunate, because that gives us motivation to keep going.
It's like pushing the red button.
Yeah. Like, someone, I remember, messaged us, and they said, please quit. We replied with, we literally have all night.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
That's funny.
Yeah. It kind of turns into a podcast, almost, with that, in those videos, because sometimes we'll sit there for 15, 20, 30 minutes in between attacks, and, you know, we'll just be rambling on about all sorts of things.
Oh, I've put them on in the background while I'm doing book work or something, just to listen to what happens. When things start getting exciting, I'll turn and look. But yeah, I just like, what inspires someone to do this?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people
I can
do
understand
very
doing it out of desperation.
Yeah,
I mean, I've done it. I've done that in Halo Wars that very same map. I get down to that one base, and you know, I'll sit back with Kodiaks and or Warthogs, Marines, you know, whatever I can get built between attacks, and just try to last as long as I possibly can. I think the longest I've ever gone was maybe an hour.
Yeah, well, Sentry is designed so well for turtling because your bases and your, it's a 2v2 or a 1v1 map, but most people play it on twos. And both you and your ally are so close to each other, as well as your expos are right next to each other as well, that all four bases are kind of like this big defensive area. And not only on top of that, you're on the high ground. And Halo Wars benefits the units on the high ground. And then there's choke points with the hills where the opposing units come up on. I mean, it's just there's so many things that go in your favor. And the size of the map, too, if you fend off an attack, you know, you can use that time to build your economy. I mean, we'll have 100,000 supplies and power after a couple of hours because you hardly use any lose any units when you super turtle on that map.
Oh, jeez.
So my personal record on Sentry is 4.5 hours.
Whoa.
I'd love to get to like the 5 or 6 hour mark, but it just hasn't happened yet. I'm hoping one of these days it will.
I forget if it was one of your videos or someone else, but I was watching, this was back very early in Halo Wars 2's life. Somebody was super turtling with Atriox, a Scarab, and some blisterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, the Banished Scarab is really good. It actually works really well on Sentry to turtle with a Scarab. You know, some things that work to turtle on one map doesn't work on another. Like, Frontier is a huge map. So you're going to need really fast units to defend yourself if someone's going to attack a different base. But on Sentry, your bases are right next to each other. So, you know, by all means, build the slowest unit. You know, there are some strategies involved with turtling, believe it or not.
I bet. I mean, you guys make content off of it, so I'm sure there is.
You know, it is hilarious. I smile all the time when I look at my analytics, and the videos that have the most watch time minutes usually are the Super Turtle videos, even though they've been uploaded years ago.
Yeah.
It's funny. I get enjoyment out of doing it, and people get enjoyment out of watching it, so I consider it a win-win.
There you go. When Hover was asking, are you referencing the Anders turtle yet?
I've had a couple of Anders turtles, but nothing all that good. My two best turtles, I had a 3.5 hour game and a 4.5 hour game with Isabel, believe it or not. And then I had another 4 hour game with Yap Yap.
So many grunts.
Yes. The Isabel ones.
Is Yap Yap a good comparison to the Zerg Rush?
Yeah, you know, Yap Yap's really good. The voice actor for Yap Yap is hilarious. People forget the Yappening started in Halo Wars before it went over to MCC.
Mm-hmm. Do people actually I haven't forgotten it, but interesting. I thought that was kind of a well-known thing, but I guess not. Well, and I think you made a comment on Twitter, or maybe I saw it on Twitter or your Discord, where it's like the Yappening's been in MCC for the past 2-3 years, but it's only been on like Halo Wars twice or something like that.
It was only on there for a weekend.
Yep.
Once.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been twice, but yeah.
It was on
Halo Wars, and then it came to MCC, and it hasn't ever gone back.
It hasn't ever gone back. We've asked for it, and you know, it boils down to 343s. You know, they have a lot of things in the fire right now. They got MCC, they have Infinite. You know, who knows how many people at 343 are actively working on the TV show as well. I mean, they have a lot of things going on.
They do, yeah.
And bringing the Yappening into Halo Wars 2 isn't high on their priority list. So I understand, but it would be well received if it was like a... I always said it should just be a skull. There's all these skulls in Halo Wars that change how it plays.
Yeah.
Just turn on the skull.
Yeah, and just randomly change metrics or have a certain set of metrics depending on what the leaders are.
Yeah, what a fun weekend. That was so hilarious.
That was hilarious.
It was just a meme, you know, it made it so fun to play as. Like, yep. Cutter's ODST would drop like 40 ODSTs.
And then, of course, there's a Twitter account.
Yeah, that's how it all started.
Yep. Well, we're glad to have you on. Thanks for giving us a little bit of an update where Halo Wars stands kind of within the time that we're in with Infinite coming. Are still in development and MCC coming out. It's good to hear that people are still enjoying Halo Wars within the community and that there's still a good user base behind it. So thanks for spending your time tonight with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad Halo Wars is still kicking, and I hope everyone can enjoy the campaign to get a, I guess, a, get some knowledge of the Banished before Infinite comes out.
There you go. Yeah. So where can people find you and your content?
You can find us at youtube.com/TeamRespawnTV is our YouTube channel where we post all of our content. Twitter.com/TeamRespawnTV is where I tweet all my thoughts and opinions. And then our Discord server recently got partnered.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. It's Discord /TeamRespawn.
Very nice. That's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah. Our Discord server is pretty great. There's a lot of people that are welcoming to new Halo Wars players in there. We talk about strategies, what leaders to play as for particular play styles, guides, all those sorts of things. I'm really impressed with how welcoming everyone is for Halo Wars in the server.
Very good. So yeah, definitely go check that out. We'll link those in the show description when we post it as well, so people can find them over there. Do you have any personal socials, or are you pretty much just Team Respawn repping?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of free time to kind of do both.
Okay.
A couple of my admins, I guess we are we're working on coding a Discord bot as well. I've been told I've been obligated to plug that.
One of these days I'll have my bot going too.
Well, you know, that'd be great. We could do like an integration between the two or something.
Yeah, I can't remember if I've ever told you the details of my super ambitious bot idea, but I have Tepec on board with it. I have the guy behind D-Bot,
Mayhem.
Mayhem, blanking on his name. And then there's another bot coder from the Arc community. He's on board with it, so I need to share with you my brainchild of an idea that's super ambitious and
his master plan to try to take over the world. I mean, the Discord.
I mean, in a way, yeah. It's gonna hopefully be the bot to rule all Halo bots for social interaction. But yeah, so yeah, go check over on Twitter and YouTube. Lots of good YouTube content. Videos are being posted almost daily, so there's never a shortage of content over on their YouTube channel, and your Discord community is popping pretty well, so definitely go on over there and check that out.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on, and again, such short notice, it was good to kind of have someone to fill the DJ spot tonight. But for the Pod Tacklers side of things, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for our socials. Again, we have our Discord. You can find us at podtackler.com/discord and join us up in the community. We also have our Tales from the Foxhole and our Clip Shots channels that if you post over in, we'll include those at the beginning of the show, kind of like we did with MH Cosplay's weapons that he is fabricating at the moment. So if there's a Halo clip that you have from playing a game or a story that you have from real life, let us know about it. We would love to share it on the show. Kind of be a part of the Podtacular community there. You can also find us on Twitch. We record our podcast on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time live. And then we have our Fragging Fridays hosted by GT, which will be Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We have our community poll over in the Discord for whether or not we play Halo 5 or MCC on Xbox One. So if you would like to join us and play, make sure you hop on over to our Discord and vote in the poll if you intend to play. You can also find us on YouTube as well. Not posting a lot of content over there at the moment, but I'm sure once Infinite starts to come around the corner, we will have plenty of content that we will be posting over there. So feel free to hang on over there.
Life keeps getting in the way.
There is that too. We also have our Spartan Company and Xbox Clubs, which you can join up. Just search for Pod Tackler and you can hop on into those. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, and no longer Google, because Google Music is now no longer a thing. So, yep, I've got to update the overlay on the live stream, but that should be done.
Yeah, something else that goes into the Google graveyard.
Yep, so many things pop up and then just kind of get tossed out. There's also the Achieving Halo streams at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Those are on Sundays. Again, I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing it this weekend, but if I am, make sure you just tune to our social networks and the Discord. That's where you'll find out the latest and most up-to-date info on all of the podtacular happenings. Shout out to all of our Twitch subscribers. We appreciate all the support and all the gifted subs that we've been getting from a few of our community members. Really appreciate the support. We've also got our Patreon. Shout out to folks like Austin Webrink, Frizzled, Pens Halo, and Confowl for your contributions to the Patreon. Some people are going to be getting their 4 and 6 month benefits here pretty soon, because we started in March and October is 6 months. September would have been 6 months. So actually, I'm a month behind on that stuff. So some people will be getting some physical goods here pretty soon on the Patreon side of things. And if you would like to, you can also donate to us through PayPal. We have a PayPal link. You can go to podtacular.com/donate if you would like to just send us money directly, if that's the way you would like to support the show here. Gentlemen, thank you for being on tonight, Andrew. It was a pleasure having you on again. GT will see you all tomorrow for game night, whichever game you end up choosing. Any closing remarks, folks?
Andrew?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I guess not.
Well, I look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow night or the next Friday night that you're listening to this for Fraggin' Fridays. Be sure to check out our Discord to see or to vote on which game we play. The vote will be between MCC or Halo 5 on Xbox. I do have an intent to do another PC game night soon, so keep your eye on that game night chat, and I will apprise you when that will be.
Very good. All right, folks, thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next week. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.